ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Krang's Hero of the Year.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You're too kind. Thank you. I can't believe I just wasted 10 minutes of my life putting that together. Deary me. What kind of egotistical, hubristic arsehole have I become? It's all gone to my head. But I do want to say a sincere thank you, because I'm sure a lot of you guys that listened to this actually voted. And even though it's a pretty ridiculous award, I do appreciate the sentiment. But of course, I got no idea what I've done to deserve this. I ain't no hero. I've never climbed up a tree and saved a stranded cat. I never jumped down a well to save a drowning child. Or, I don't know, whatever it is heroes do.
Step Up Podcast.
I just want to celebrate another day.
Shit! It's Rare Earth. I just want to celebrate.
Well, I can't be bothered with sorrow. And I can't be bothered with hate. No, no. I'm using up my time for feeling fine every day. Yeah. That's why I'm telling you, I just want to celebrate. Oh, yeah. I just want to celebrate another day. Oh, I just want to celebrate.
I like this bit. Sounds like he's calling me. Yeah? Yeah? You called? And this next bit, the bongo guy goes a bit nuts here. Wait for it. Here. Whoa! Chill out there, bongo man. So this is going to be a bit of a celebratory podcast, but nothing to do with me. I'm going to be celebrating and discussing the latest achievements in science and technology whilst pumping out some big music. Let's go! But I did just want to talk about the word hero and how we use it in society. I think throughout history, and still at this present day, the word hero has predominantly been given to war heroes, people that fought for their country. Which, when you think about it, is really quite barbaric. Because what we're actually doing there is celebrating a human being's ability to kill a load of other human beings. And that just makes me feel a bit queasy, to be honest. Because no matter how justified it ever is to kill another human being, I don't think it should ever be celebrated. One of my favourite philosophers, Bertrand Russell, sums up my thoughts on this topic perfectly in a book called Has Man a Future?
Batman Quote of the Month.
He said, "The division of mankind into competing and often hostile nations has had a disastrously distorting effect upon national estimates as to who deserves honour. We in Britain have devoted our most visible public monuments to Nelson and Wellington, whom we honour for their skill in killing foreigners. Strange to say, foreigners do not feel the same admiration as we do for those Britons who show this kind of cleverness. If you were to ask any educated non-Briton what he considered to be the chief glories of Britain, he'd be much more likely to say Shakespeare, Newton, Darwin. It is not for its skill in homicide that the human race deserves respect. Yes, Bertie. Big look. Bertrand Russell from the book Has Man a Future? So if it isn't enough already that the government sends away our boys and girls in the armed forces to fight immoral wars of offence in foreign lands, when they come back with all amount of horrific injuries, both physical and mental, we end up having to form charities like Help for Heroes in order for them to get the treatment that they need. So basically, under the guise of security, go off and fight for the super rich of your country. And then if you return, the injuries that you've sustained will only be treated if enough people have the goodwill to give to the respective charities, as the government turns a blind eye. It always shocks me, especially in America, when you can be driving around on the freeways and at almost every junction, there'll be a homeless war veteran. And he'll be debilitated and unable to work for a living because of the injuries he sustained whilst fighting for his country. And now he's been completely forgotten and neglected. And on the same highways, you can have huge advertisements telling you to join the army and selling it as the most brave and honourable thing you could ever do. But in fact, you'll just be a little toy for the super rich to play with. Right, here's Anti-System, an 80s punk band, speaking similar truths.
Serve your country, do them proud, and blot the world with a mushroom cloud. Win yourself a shiny medal, graft away and push the pedal. Then go home to mum and dad, they'll pat you on the back and say you didn't do bad. Dad'll whip you up the stairs to show his book of wartime affairs. Pictures in his album of rotting flesh, mangled bodies in barbed wire mesh. Mum's downstairs and she's figuring out, so she calls you down with an angry shout. How come there's blood in your khaki suit, a bit of flesh on your combat boot? So explain to her and she understands about the blood and violence to save the land. There's one little fact that I missed out. What is this fucking war about?
I was so happy when I discovered this track. I felt like a fucking archaeologist digging this one out of the depths of punk history. Once again, the band is Anti-System, and this is the first track of their EP called Defence of the Realm, an early British hardcore punk band, that real thrashy 1980s sound. Check it out. I'd love to cover this track. Imagine the circle pit. And one of the main things I've been asked on Twitter and on the forum and stuff recently is for my thoughts on the Queen and the royal family. As soon as this song's called In Defence of the Realm, I guess it's a good point to try and address that. So I guess the first thing to do is to point out that the institution of a monarchy or a royal family is an incredibly old, archaic...
People have to perish or civilization does diminish.
Whoops, I forgot about that end bit there. I didn't mean to speak over my pissed off northern mate. But yeah, as I was saying, the monarchy is obviously quite an archaic old idea. The only true monarchy left in the world now is in Saudi Arabia, I believe. And even though they're considered a good friend of the West, they're obviously quite behind in terms of their human rights and the general equality and health of their society. And I think having one supreme leader, you know, one long-standing, stagnant, unelected king definitely plays a massive part in the lack of progression and human rights and equality in that country. Obviously, religion plays a massive part too, but let's not get into that just yet. The only time throughout my life that I've ever actually been interested in somebody within the monarchy, the obvious one really, is Princess Diana. I think she, for a short while, brought honour and respect to the royal family throughout her actions and beliefs. I take the Queen, for instance, just simply giving a speech, perhaps once a year, about charity and the goodness of moral character, while sitting on a massive gold chair that's probably worth more than a street, doesn't really justify the monarchy's existence for me. And people usually argue back, and they go down two routes. There's either the tourism route, saying that the royal family and the fact that we still have a monarchy brings in so much money into the country through tourism, which of course it does. Or they go down the tradition route, simply saying, oh, you can't banish monarchy, it's tradition. And that argument kind of ends there, because if there's no use for them apart from simply tradition, i.e. reminiscing and celebrating and therefore prolonging a culture, a tradition, well, what tradition is it that we're really prolonging there? Because obviously, if you study the monarchy throughout history, there have really just been families of outrageously greedy, verging psychopathic mass murderers that have gone around conquering, pillaging and enslaving various peoples around the world. So this continued quaint love and admiration that we have for our royal family and its history baffles me slightly. Especially when you have the latest updated views on science and, you know, the family of the human race and how we came to be. In terms that we're all related and we all have a common ancestor in the Homo sapiens that emerged from Africa hundreds of thousands of years ago. So why should we be celebrating and prolonging this respect for a family of people that have essentially been rulers and conquerors and murderers and have split the human race and continued this primitive formation of empires to control and enslave and therefore really disparage and deflate the human race and the possibilities that the human race can achieve? I think the best thing to do when approaching or thinking about any matter really is just to try and think about it from a cosmic perspective. And in terms of any foreign life visiting our planet, I think they would laugh and be very confused by monarchies and royal families.
For the first time in history, the physical systems of the planet, the chemical fluxes, the climate itself, the habitat, the biodiversity, evolutionary processes are to an incredible and unrecognized extent under human forcings that now dominate the planet. This is about choices. Choices that our generation faces, choices that will determine the nature of our lives and the lives of our children and those to come, 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 those to come.
This is one of the first tracks I've ever heard by Nero. It's still one of my long-standing favourites of theirs. The track's called Choices. About the threats from climate change and the threats of peak oil to global stability.
The physical systems.
Renewable energy is becoming more and more important every day. But luckily, the technological advancement in the areas of renewable energy is progressing exponentially every day. I spent the last few weeks updating my knowledge of the sheer scale and possibilities of renewable energy. And it's a really exciting process, but also a very frustrating one. Finding out about all the amazing possibilities we have at our fingertips. Also realizing that the current market system loves to hold back progress, especially when there's profit to be made from the scarcity of oil and various other dwindling, non-renewable and polluting energies. So they say that necessity is the mother of all invention. And we are sitting right before a huge energy technology revolution. And that has blossomed straight from necessity as we run out of oil. Many have dubbed it as the coming ET revolution, energy technology revolution. We had the agricultural revolution, industrial revolution, and this century simply has to give birth to a worldwide energy technology revolution. So 90% of our energy worldwide comes from, yep, you guessed it, it's the rotted remains of primeval swamp gunk, oil. And oil, over its energy-giving lifetime, has created our civilization, it's enriched the lives of billions, and enabled incredible progress. But, as we all know, it's beginning to give us quite a few negatives. Negatives to security, economy, health, and obviously the environment. So the negatives are starting to far outweigh the benefits, as the sample in this Nero track is about to explain.
For the first time in history, the physical systems of the planet, the chemical fluxes, the climate itself, the habitat, the biodiversity, evolutionary processes are attuned in incredible and unrecognized extent under human forcings that now dominate the planet. This is about choices. Choices that our generation faces, choices that will determine the nature of our lives and the lives of our children and those to come, those to come.
I often dream about a future, hopefully a not too distant future, where we've managed to wean ourselves off oil on a global scale. Because at the moment, it feels like we've got like maybe four options or four outcomes of what will happen if we carry on going down the same route that we're going. A, more oil wars. More wars on a global scale fought for the acquisition of oil. B, climate change starts to become apparent on a devastating scale globally. C, nuclear holocaust, which has been a threat whether we like it or not for decades now. And then D, all of the above. Oh, fun times. We rarely get told about the possibility of none of the above though. The sane option, that's the option I'm clinging on to. So here's my remix of Scroobius Pip's song Soldier Boy, where he talks about oil wars.
Soldier boy, now kill them. Kill those Disney villains. Orders over feelings. Now please secure that zone, cause we need pump that oil supply. Pump that oil supply. Pump that oil supply. Now please secure that zone. Soldier boy, now kill him. Kill those Disney villains. Orders over feelings. Now please secure that zone, cause we need pump that whole supply. Pump that whole supply. Pump that whole supply. Now please secure that zone. Yes, I do protect this country, but I'm also sent anywhere else on earth these fuckers want me. It's my job to go and die on order of the politicians. In these modern times, money and power are the main religion. Tie attacks on us together with some distant far off land. One big show of power, man, it all strengthens our global brands. In a war on terror, but you won't find no Bin Laden here. If we're stopping tyrants, why the fuck ain't we in North Korea? But I just follow orders, please don't blame me if things get too bleak. People help the heroes, helping bureaus, help me fucking sleep. Ignore the leaks of treatments, kind of break the mansion. In these sour times, you take the line and just bend it a bit. I'm jacking them. And if we cannot find them all, I'm slapping them. At your local party, get the kid raised up to smack it, eh? I'm just disappointing these kids so we see a brighter day. Soldier boy, now kill them. Kill the Disney villains. All deserve for feelings. Now please secure the zone, cause we need pump that whole supply. Pump that whole supply. Pump that whole supply. Now please secure that zone. Soldier boy, now kill them. Kill the Disney villains. Feelings. Now please secure the zone, cause we need pump that whole supply, pump that whole supply, pump that whole supply. Now please secure the zone.
On the subject of regal affairs as well, the royal family, check out the line in the next verse. If we're hanging tyrants, then England, you better watch the Queen.
That killer machine, I feed that need, I serve. Show me the enemy, I'm literally stepping on any need to feel the break, wanna claim that turf. Burn it down, run my name in the dirt. I'm a space invader, see me work. Give no quarter, scorch the earth. Soldier boy, I told you boy, your home's destroyed, my walk is mean. If we hang in tyrants, then England, you better watch the Queen. If we talking violence, then I'ma probably be on the scene. We have formed alliances, now that cause us to intervene. We anticipate your compliance with the authorities. We provide reminders of what is behind the order of things. Yeah, boy, turn men on us first, then toy turn weapon, destroy defend. Gun in hand, you ready to earn. Good soldier boy, say sir, yes sir. Catch me at your local high school, passing out recruiting forms. Can't find you a job, but we can get you in a uniform.
Ooh, big line.
Can't find you a job, but we can get you in a uniform. Soldier boy, now heal him. Kill the Disney villains. All deserve for feelings. Now please secure the zone, cause we need pump that whole supply. Pump that whole supply. Pump that whole supply. Now please secure the zone. Soldier boy, now kill him. Kill those Disney villains. Orders over feelings. Now please secure that zone, cause we need pump that whole supply. Pump that whole supply. Pump that whole supply. Now please secure that zone.
So over the last few weeks, I've been in and out of Germany a fair bit doing festivals. I've had the pleasure of travelling through their many of their towns and a lot of the lush green countryside. And no matter where you are, you can almost always see a house that has solar power on its roof. Now they've invested and subsidised renewable energy on a big scale in the last few years, and it's really starting to show. I was amazed to find out that last month they actually set the solar power generation world record. They managed to produce 22 gigawatts, which met half the country's electricity needs. And just to give you a bit of perspective in terms of comparing that to nuclear power, that number is apparently equal to 20 nuclear power stations at full capacity. So massive big ups to Germany. And the person that got most of that under the way was a man called Hermann Scheer. He's the man that guided the subsidies through the German parliament, kind of initiated this solar energy revolution throughout the 1990s. And he's actually said recently that he predicts we'll arrive at a point where solar power production over the next decade will actually cost less for a household than conventional electric power that you buy over the grid. Which will be an incredible point, because even if we haven't run out of oil on a global scale, and the prices haven't soared into all ridiculousness, we'll still end up weaning ourselves off oil even before that happens, just because the sheer mass production of solar energy will provide us with cheaper energy than the long-standing traditional methods of non-renewable energy on the grid. So let's stay with solar for a little bit. The harvesting of the sun. And let's just go straight in at the deep end and ask the big question. How much land would we need to cover in solar panels to meet the whole of the world's energy needs? Apparently it's somewhere around 300,000 square kilometres, which is about the size of France. I mean, I say just flatten France, cover it in solar panels, that'd be fine with me. It's got the image of surprised French faces squished into the ground with their noses pressed up against the glass panels. But obviously, with all the barren landscapes and deserts throughout Africa and various other places in the world, those hot, deserted geographical positions on the world could definitely be utilised, especially with the recent and ongoing advancements in energy transfer and storage. I've said it in many an interview, but I'll say it again. Every minute, enough energy from the sun reaches the earth to meet the world's energy demands for a whole year. Every minute. And of course, the actual process of utilising the sunlight, utilising the energy from the sun, is being enhanced all the time. And thanks to nanotechnology, we now have photovoltaics. Photo means relating to light, voltaic, relating to electricity. And we've got to the point now where photovoltaic paint is actually an option. So you can paint molecules onto the side of your house, which will then soak up energy from the sun, which would then be distributed into your energy supply. Well worth checking out. Another development in solar power is solar roadways. You can check out solarroadways.com, where they let us know that if every road was replaced by a solar roadway in the US, that would power the planet 2 to 3 times over. And it's excruciatingly frustrating facts like that that make it so apparent that we're really suffering from undigested science. This is science, technology, and possibility that is there at our fingertips, but we're unable to harness it, we're unable to digest the possibilities, because we're held back by this market mentality, or capitalism, or the monetary system, or whatever you want to label it as. We've got the willpower, the manpower, the resources, the technology, the ability to make all of these things that I've been talking about a reality right now. The only thing we don't have is money. Or at least the people that do have the money are involved in the current fields of non-renewable energy extraction. Oil, coal, tar sands. And why would they put their money into this massive new infrastructure when they've already built one up and they're making loads of profit with it? Capitalism requires constant profit. And this is a fine example of where capitalism puts profit before the welfare and well-being of the world's people and the planet. So it appears we simply cannot afford long-term sustainable thinking, because our system only rewards short-term behaviours. I've only really had time to cover solar, but I'll probably try and squeeze in perhaps wind energy next week, and the current possibilities and the new technologies that are being created and enhanced and adapted in wind turbine systems. This lovely tranquil tune in the background is called Icopol. Hope that's how you pronounce it. Icopol. And it's by Daoud. Daoud. Sure, I got at least one of them wrong. This is my current track of choice if I want to get productive. If I'm just procrastinating and just having a daydreamy sort of day, I'll just stick this on. And I always find it really enables me to knuckle down. All right, let's move things forward. This is a fresh track from Stench Man. Gotta be one of the most creative and outrageous people in the dubstep scene. This track's called Slave to Consumption. After we hear the drop, I'm going to bring in my boy Matty P for our new feature, Twat of the Month. Yes. Every time I listen to drum and bass or dubstep at the moment, I can't stop but help hearing the T-Wog emceeing over the top. If you haven't heard it, you've got to check it out. Just type T-Wog into YouTube. It's basically Terry Wogan emceeing over drum and bass and dubstep. And I appreciate if you're perhaps American or, well, not British, basically, perhaps you won't get the humour of it all. You won't understand it at all, probably, but if you do know who Terry Wogan is, you definitely have to check it out. It's hilarious. So, I'm going to pass over to Matty P now for Step Up's Twat of the Month.
Hello, Step Uppers. Matthew Pendle here with my brand new Stepcast item, Twat of the Month. You should be made aware that this is in no way limited to present twats. It can be past, present, or even future. Future will be a stretch. I mean, for legal reasons, we will have to ensure that twatdom is guaranteed in later life. Now, as this is the inaugural Twat of the Month ceremony, and yes, it is a ceremony, I must admit I had a great deal of trouble deciding who would win the soon-to-be coveted award. Now, when you think of twat, you have a plethora of names entering the fray, the usuals: Hitler, Pot, Mugabe, Gaddafi, Winton. And my first inductee is an obvious choice for probably obvious reasons. So please stand, Mr. David Cameron. Now, I really, really didn't want to start with our Prime Minister. I really didn't, but he's literally left me with zero choice in the past couple of weeks. So let me flash back to about a week ago, as I was very, very close to finalising my TOTM nominee shortlist, and my attention was drawn, as usual, when I'm on a computer, to Twitter, and what the many people of the United Kingdom were talking about. What was trending, if you will. I'm a slave to trends, what can I say? And top of the list was Mr. Jimmy Carr, comedian. I assumed he'd made some off-colour remark about nurses at a charity gig or some shit. But upon investigating further, discovered that Mr. Carr was the subject of a story published by The Times, which is a bit like The Sun, but with more outstretched confabulations, longer words. The story/investigation reported that Jimmy Carr was one of a series of wealthy Brits who pay little more than 1% income tax due to their under-the-radar accounting methods, mostly based in the tax haven of Jersey. But the very next day, thanks to the fact that the British public usually find it very, very hard to talk about anything else when a celeb does something a bit wrong, some tweeter alerted me and others to the report that a £300,000 inheritance from David Cameron's father's estate came from his £2.5 million fortune that was built up in tax havens. Hypocritical twat. Hippo twat. And to top it off, he did a thing what all politicians do and comment on a scandalous story to gauge approval from people who normally flat out hate him by calling Mr. Carr's actions morally wrong. Fair enough, Dave. So on the subject of tax avoidance, what's your views on your mate Sir Philip Green avoiding millions in corporate tax by placing his assets in his wife's name, who is based in the tax haven of Morocco? Oh, you don't want to comment on individuals' tax affairs all of a sudden? Do me a favour, Dave. Have a go at all of the wrong'uns, close the loopholes, and let's make sure this doesn't happen again. And keeping on the subject of David Cameron, he's only just this week announced plans for welfare reform, which if he gets his way will probably limit housing benefit for those under 25. Now this is no doubt going to damage hopes for the young people threatened with homelessness, whose only hope is to be accommodated by a housing association. And the only reason the housing benefit is so large in the first place is so that the already huge rent can be covered. Now I know this personally because in 2005 I was one of these young people forced to live in a housing association. And the rent was quite big then, so I'd hate to think how much rent's increased. So to honestly say that David Cameron has the best interests of young people in Britain in mind is, in my opinion, and probably others, simply not true. But David, I was so prepared to let it all go. Trust me, Jimmy Carr was an absolute shoo-in. And then I remembered something. You left your daughter in a pub. Where I come from, Hatfield, you leave your child behind in a pub for more than 10 minutes and you'll come back to them and they're already an alcoholic or, in some extreme cases, a heroin addict. Not even my parents ever did that to me. I mean, granted, one summer they forgot about me and left me in budgings, but they're usually air-conditioned. And the worst I'd get is a dependency for frozen foods. Don't do it again, Dave. Don't do it again. So, ladies and gentlemen, your twat of the month, the man who puts the twat in... He's a bit of a fucking twat, isn't he? The only man who could fall into a barrel of roses only to come out eating his own shit, David Cameron. Now, if you want to put forward a name for next month's twat, recommend someone on Twitter just using the Stepcast hashtag and give you solid reasons. I'll do my best to help you out, but please don't suggest someone close to you like your mum or your dad. We all hate our parents and you won't get any sympathy from me. Goodbye. Twat, twat,
twat, twat. Oh, yes, maybe. Going in hard for our first twat of the month. Couldn't agree more, mate.
They want sacrifice. They had schemes and asked me to follow their path to the afterlife. I've got an appetite for nice things and pipe dreams that my enemies could be blasted by. New metaphors. Views that are better for you can't survive if I'm your competitor. Rise together or fight separate wars. I pray I'm never forced to be a predator.
To spectate, we won't last. They're glad to hate when gladiators breathe their last. Scream en masse when the dreams do clash like swords in the war. Let me bleed on that. But they feed on that. Say we need strong backs. Call us weak and don't redeem contracts. Nope. This peace won't last. The beast attacks, the sons and the fathers will be free at last.
They see sharks in the estuary. They claim the ark is Bartholomew's. They say war is necessary, but we say war is child abuse.
Steady of the step, I don't that temper kills a matter. Doesn't matter if I came before, but give the death to settle scores. Test the metal, either or. What's your plan? Got to do with me. If the bell tolls, let freedom ring. And find the new ways if we must be king. Instead of leading the young to our suffering.
The past testament's down, scream back in heaven. For testing us like Wednesdays at 11. Want to recruit and train us to act evilly. Saving for the shooting range. Smack DVDs. We'll study war no more this millennium. It's never again for me or anyone. So think harder when you refer to us. Rather make our children martyrs than murder. They shell dwellings to clothe the shellings. They lift taboos to seduce the cowards. They say we're too yellow belly, but we say we're the new superpower.
Gonna start trying to play more of your guys' requests. Send them to Twitter if you've got any. This is White Flag Warrior by the Flowbots, featuring Tim McIlrath of Rise Against. Thank you very much for listening to the third Stepcast. Big up. Peace.
We seek waivers to not be liable. We claim to speak for a higher truth. We stand opposed to the homicidal. We tell you you're fireproof.
Warrior!
Step Up Podcast.